For those of you who haven't been here with us, and for those of you who have a memory about as long as a gnat, we are going through the book of Acts right now, and today we'll be in Acts chapter 19. Paul is in Ephesus. He visited there earlier with his friends Aquila and Priscilla. They were tent makers. They were Jews expelled from Rome, and Paul met up with them in the city of Corinth and then encouraged them to go to Ephesus and begin a church there. And so Paul goes and establishes a church in Ephesus and kind of leaves Aquila and Priscilla as the heads over that for a while he continues on to Jerusalem, reports to them his second missionary journey and all that he's been able to do and accomplish, all the churches that he has begun. And then he goes to the city of Antioch because that's where missionaries were sent out from. That was the missionary embassy, if you will, for Jesus Christ in that day. And Paul starts shortly after that brief rest his third missionary journey, in which he starts off in his own hometown. We all know that being out on the road, touring like Paul had been for over 2 years, that it's good to touch base with your home crowd, right? Even though a prophet is not always welcome in his own city. But Paul goes there, gets re-energized, gets resupplied, and then he goes back and he visits the other churches that he has birthed. And then he ends up, after only 6 months of journeying, and he's done all of this by land. Now, how many of you snivel if you have to walk to the mailbox and back? Paul puts on hundreds of miles in this journey to take the message of Jesus Christ out to the world. And praise God for the energy that God gave Paul to be able to do this. After 6 months of visiting churches along the way, he ends up in Ephesus. And in Ephesus, for a couple of months, he tries teaching in the synagogue. But, of course, resistance builds up. And wherever there's resistance, Paul has just come to the conclusion, you know what? It's better to just take the message elsewhere to where it'll be appreciated. Appreciated. Wow. Got a bug in my teeth, I think, where it'd be appreciated. And so he takes the believers out of the synagogue, and he takes them right next door to a man called Tyrannus. And he has a lecture hall. He's a teacher. And Paul, if you will, rents out a lecture hall. Actually, Tyrannus gives it to him because nobody is alive in Ephesus in the hours that Paul is trying to use his lecture hall. Because Paul is there from 11 to 4 every day with these new believers. 11 to 4 every day with new believers. And we snivel because we have to go to church on Sunday. Or because some of us even come to Wednesday night Bible study. And people look at us and they talk to them. What are you, some kind of religious nut? You're always going to church. Yeah, I'm not a religious nut, I'm a Jesus nut. And I want to learn. I want to learn from others. I want to be in fellowship with other believers. Why? Because that helps to encourage me. You know, to be a better golfer, I learned that you had to hang out with better golfers. Why? Because to be the king of the group means that the group will only play to your abilities. And so if you get some people that are better and stronger at what it is that you're trying to do, accomplish, then you will be strengthened up in your faith to become better. That's why we hang out at church together. It's so that we fellowship with each other and make one another better in our faith in Jesus Christ. It's not to belong to a cult. It's not to be weird. It's because we really love each other. I can tell when we have meet and greet and y'all just run around and you're saying hello to everybody, and it's hard to get the service coming back. In fact, I think from now on we're going to do meet and greet at the end of the service. There you go. There you go. See? Smart guy. So, Acts chapter 19, verses 11 to 22. It's inside your bulletin. And if you would all read this with me, I'd really appreciate it. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. A group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, "I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, "I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you?" Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. Woo-hoo! The story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. And the value of the books was several days' wages. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. Afterward, Paul felt compelled by the Spirit to go over to Macedonia and Achaia before going to Jerusalem. And after that, he said, "I must go on to Rome." He sent his two assistants, Timothy and Erastus, ahead to Macedonia while he stayed a while longer in the province of Asia. It begs the question, what power is in you? What power is in you? There is no doubt that in this world there are two opposing powers. There's the power of God, which many of us embrace, but don't always fully understand. And equally, there is the power of Satan to enter into lives and into minds. In fact, he's constantly rapping on your door, trying to insert thoughts into your mind, trying to get you behaviorally to do anything less than glorify God. Anything. And he has wily ways because sorry, Wiley, didn't mean to call out your name. He has ways because he knows what our weaknesses are. Why? Because we have revealed those weaknesses to him. And maybe we've opened up doors in our behavior, our choices, that we have allowed the powers of Satan to come in and invade our hearts and our minds. But children of God, you are not subject to the powers of Satan. If, big word, if you will surrender to the power of God. So the question today, what power is in you? What power? Now understand, Paul didn't want this kind of stuff happening. It was not his choice to have the sweatbands that he tied around his head as he made tents in the morning to be distributed to others. I'm sure that he probably got to work every day and just went, where'd my sweatband go this time? And somebody had come and stolen it, and so he had to take another piece of cloth and tie it around his head to keep the sweat from rolling down into his face. You see, for some reason, Ephesus is just a really hot area. And between the hours of 11 and 4, most of the people of Ephesus were asleep. In fact, it is commonly known back in those days that you could find more people asleep at 1 p.m. than you could at 1 a.m. because of the heat of the land and the heat of the place. Besides that, they were partiers. They loved to get up. And we know that evil loves darkness, right? When else are evil things done? Why is it that bars lure you in to a dark atmosphere? And yet the church is so lit up. It's because here we're not ashamed of what goes on, of what each person is about. But in the bar, it can bring in creepy things, and you can say things, and you can meet with people in a deep, dark way. Why is it that computer pornography is so rampant in our age? Because a person gets away in the darkness of their own little computer world alone, and all of a sudden, images and photos start coming across, and you start getting invited to join this site. Hey, see what this has over here. And it has become rampant. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:12 that the marks of an apostle are signs, wonders, and miracles. In fact, while Jesus was upon this land, he even set his followers apart. And he sent them out two by two. And he told them, go from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says, anyone who has faith in me will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Greater than what Jesus did? Not greater in stature, but greater in number. I mean, back then, there were maybe a million people. Today, how many billions of people do we have on earth? So greater being in volume, not greater as, hey, you bested Jesus. No. But greater will the amounts of the miracles and the wonders and the signs of God be. Why? Because he's going to the Father, and he's going to give unto us the power of God's very presence. It's called the Holy Spirit, to be upon us and to lead us and to guide us and to empower us to be able to do things to bring glory and honor unto God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says what? You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, Jesus said. That's the power that Jesus wants you to have. Peter, when he was anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, as he began to preach, and he began to talk to the people, and he said, you know, Jesus was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you know. Why is it that if God accredits a man with signs, with wonders, and miracles, that a man needs to have degrees on his wall, letters after his name or letters before his name, to be accredited by people today? Why? If God is not in the very words of the man who is speaking, then don't listen to that man. If God does not accredit the man who is teaching you with signs, with wonders, with miracles, then go search where God is speaking. And uphold that person with all sorts of prayer, because I'll tell you what, the target is right here. Because as God's word says, if I strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. That's why so many pastors today are leaving ministry. They're tired of being the targets. And I got to be honest with you. I've grown weary of it myself at times. And I praise God for men of God who have come alongside of me, who have encouraged me, and people that have let me know, hey, Pastor, I'm praying for you. And please know, I'm praying for you. You see, it goes both ways. And the signs and the wonders and the miracles that I see today sitting in this room are you. You are a sign to God that I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's a wonder with all the philosophies and all the stuff that's flying around out there in the world today that you would find yourself here today. It's a miracle, some would say. I've been praying for that guy for a long time. Really good to see him in church finally. Are some of you a miracle of someone's prayers? You bet. And guess what? God wants to do the same thing through you. He wants to answer your prayers miraculously. You see, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you to join in the greatest relationship that you could ever have, with the greatest power known to anyone. The God who spoke creation into existence, who knit you together when you were in the womb and had plans and purposes for your life. That's the power that God wants to be living in you. His presence. And yet we walk around as Christians today kind of feeling beat up and battered. Oh, we have an enemy that's trying to deceive us that we are anything but the children of God. But if you are a child of God, then don't you think that your heavenly Father will protect you? Doesn't mean he'll keep everything away from you. No, because God is a God of choice. You have to make the choice about what you want your life to be about. As I talked about in the prayer time this morning, are you satisfied with God? Because God satisfies your every longing, as long as that longing is not evil. If that longing is something of your flesh, something that is of this world, rather than of Him, God won't satisfy that. But God will satisfy your every longing if your every longing is for more of Him. And that's what I want to encourage you about. What's your walk like with God? Do you speak with Him? Does He have an opportunity to speak with you every day? Do you open up your Word? Do you study the Word of God? Does He reveal new truth to you? If not, child of God, why not? You're making other things more idols than you are God. And if you look at the Big Ten, called the Ten Commandments, you will see that God wants no other idols before Him. Yes, God wants first place in your life, and nothing else will do. Nothing. Not the house that you can try to purchase, not the car, not the man that you're kind of flirting with, not the woman you're hoping to catch her eye. Not even the best dog, Don. God wants your heart completely for Him. He wants it completely for Him. You know, this Ephesus where Paul, on his second missionary journey, when he went there with Aquila and Priscilla, Paul didn't stay long. He just established the church, and then he left it. He said, I've got to go back, and I've got to report to Jerusalem. But he says, if it's God's will, I will return here. And so Paul journeyed on, and he went to Jerusalem then. But God had a will for Paul to come back. Why? Because Ephesus was a very key place in Asia. At that time, it was known as Asia. Today, it is known as the west end of Turkey on the Aegean Sea. And Ephesus was this major transport place where all sorts of goods came in and then they were distributed throughout the land of Asia. Many things. In fact, one of the battles that was on was a battle over magic arts. Thus you see these group of Jews who are using in their incantations the name of the Lord Jesus. There were seven sons of a leading priest that were doing this. And we know, even in our world today, that there are people, just like we are gathered here to worship after God, there are people out there in the world who are gathered together to worship Satan. There is a dark power amongst us. And in fact, Paul even writes about that. He says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers and principalities and authorities in this dark world. And so we are encouraged to put on the full armor of God, so that not if the day of battle comes, but when the day of battle comes, you will be able to stand your ground. You see, it's a battle for your soul. It's a battle for where your soul is going to spend eternity. Well, Pastor, how can I know where my soul is going to spend eternity? Believe in your heart. Profess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. And no one can do that without the Spirit of God in them, enabling them to do exactly that. And you see, that's exactly what the seven sons of Sceva learned. They were trying to misuse Jesus' name without even knowing who Jesus really was. And that's what the evil spirit... I love this story. The evil spirit just replies, hey, I know Jesus. I know Paul. But who are you? Who are you? Now, understandably, Dr. Rebecca Brown, she's a doctor because she actually is a medical doctor. And she wrote this book, very informative book, about He came to set the captives free, based upon Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3. You see, Jesus came to set you free. And yet too many of us are bound up by the powers of darkness. Too many of us are heeding the voice of this world rather than the voice of God who made this world. the man with the evil spirit leaped on him, overpowered, attacked with such violence they fled the house naked and battered. Can you imagine one man taking out seven, stripping their clothes off and beating them, giving them a beating? I mean, there was a beatdown going on. And the news of this story spread quickly out through Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike, and a solemn fear descended on the city. And the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. You see, that's what it's got to come down to, folks. We've got to be known as a church who walks in the victory of Jesus Christ. Not a bunch of people who are overcome by the enemy who is after your very soul. You see, Satan is very disgruntled. He got kicked out of heaven. He knows what it is that you are promised. He knows how good it is there. And yet he's going to try to throw every type of contraption in front of you to trap you into his thinking, into his ways. But good news, children of God, greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Amen? Come on. Come on. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. You overcome the temptations and the desires of this world by the Spirit of God that lives within you. And you either have that Spirit or you battle by yourself, and you will be defeated. And Satan knows it, and he'll keep knocking at your door and he'll keep attacking you. But children of God, that is not your end. That is not your sentence. Your sentence is to rise up as a mighty army for the kingdom of God and to declare, by the power of Jesus' name, I have been released. I am free indeed. But there are some of you who might even be doing that and saying, yeah, I'm free, but I've got this ball and chain that I'm dragging behind me. Jesus has come to set the captives free. What power is in you? What power is in you? You see, Paul has done all of this because God moved Paul where God wanted Paul to go. Paul spoke as God wanted him to speak. Paul did what God wanted him to do. Are you about satisfying you, or are you about satisfying God? Who is Spirit? Who is holy? He knows everything that you do. He's omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. He's omniscient, which means he's all knowing. It's amazing to me when you read Psalm 139 and it says, he even knows the very words that are going to come out of your mouth before you even speak them. That's how much God knows who you are and what you're about. You see, you can fool yourself in front of other people, but God knows what really goes on inside here. And what really goes on inside here is what needs to go on outside here as well. Did that make sense? I think I got confused on that. Children of God, what power's in you? What power is in you? You see, too many of us are running around in fear. You know what? God doesn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. My wife says, my mind hasn't been sound in a long time. I said, but God gave it to me, honey, so argue with him. And she's even brought her mother for reinforcements. But greater is he that is in me. Oh, I'm in so much trouble right now. Anybody do marriage counseling? Do you know how important that this town, this city of Ephesus was? This is how important this city was to God. He chose his ambassador, Paul, to go there with the message of Jesus Christ. And not only to Ephesus, but what does this passage say? It says that the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ went out to all of Asia. And how do we know that that happened? Well, we go to the last book in the New Testament called Revelation. And in Revelation, there is a letter that is written by John, delivered to each church in Asia. Seven churches, if you will. The first one being Ephesus. Ephesus. Oh, Ephesus, John wrote, you forsook your first love. And John writes, through the power of the Holy Spirit, repent. Repent means turn away from the way you've been and come back to the Lord, your God. Repent. Oh, you're hard workers. And you don't tolerate wickedness. Those are all good. But Ephesus, come back to your first love. Me, God. Smyrna was just north of Ephesus on the same sea, Aegean Sea. All these towns that are mentioned in Revelation are all in a circle that is within 30 miles of each other. And what is John? I'm going to leave that as your homework to go look it up today, to expand upon this mission, this message. John writes to each and every one of them, you're in a spiritual battle. The very heart of Satan is in your city, he says to another one. Satan has made his home there. We battle him today as well. But the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of this world. Instead, they have spiritual empowerment to take captive every thought to make it obedient unto Jesus Christ. And so we put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. The whole armor of God. Christians, you're in a battle. You're in a battle, and that battle is for your soul. But God has not left you alone. He has empowered you. But you've got to call out for, you've got a desire to have that power within you. God is a gentleman. He will never force himself upon you. Instead, he stands at the door and he knocks. Will you let me in? Will I be able to reside with you? And in my power, we will conquer any force that is trying to come at you. In fact, you pick up that shield of faith, which is going to quench every dart, every fiery dart that the enemy shoots at you. Satan rolls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But Jesus is in me. And if Jesus is in you, then I know that you are under attack. If you are not under attack right now, I kind of question whether your life stands for Jesus or not. And I don't mean to call that out as a guilt. But honestly, folks, if you start proclaiming Jesus Christ to others, you are going to come under fire. Satan hates you. He hated Jesus. And Jesus said, if he hates me, he's going to hate you. And as they persecuted me, as the world persecuted me, so you are going to be persecuted. People of this world are not going to understand what you're all about. That's okay. People here do. So let's gather more people here to talk about Jesus, to talk about the wonderful power that enables us to be more than overcomers by the power of Jesus' name. Where were you at? This is not just a game. This is a battle for your eternity and where you are going to spend it. And the choice is yours. You see, Satan is all about your death. He wants you destroyed. He wants to bring chaos into your life. This is God's offering to you. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and life abundantly. I came to bring order to your life, not chaos. I've come to take away all fear. What power is in you? What power are you giving yourself to? It's a soul-searching question that you've got to work out with God. The last church that's mentioned is a church called Laodicea. Laodicea, Ephesus was right here. Laodicea was right here. Just a little south and a little bit east of Ephesus. And John writes to the church, oh, I wish you were either hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. You can't make a decision. God doesn't want lukewarm Christians. He doesn't want lukewarm followers. You know what a milquetoast follower is? Someone who will go about with any beliefs, with anything that anybody comes up with that sounds like a good idea. God wants rock-solid followers. And how do you become a rock-solid follower? You study His Word. You pray always by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within you. You fellowship with others of like faith. And you're not ashamed of that. Instead, I don't know about you, but I get rather joyful that I'm coming to worship God today. And I know that I've got my brothers and sisters that are going to be with me. What power is in you? Loving Heavenly Father, because you're omniscient, you know all things. You know the condition of every heart and every mind. Where are they before you, Lord? For you are the true just judge. And you alone call us into that right relationship. In fact, you didn't just call us into it. You paid the price for us to come in the admission price. It came by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we accept that price paid for all of our sins. Lord, you know in this room those who are yours and those who are just pretending. I pray today, Lord, that the pretenders would become real. And that those who are real would step alongside of the pretenders and help build them up in their knowledge, in their faith, and in their service to you. We're not here to judge anybody. That's your job, God. You're the righteous judge. But you did call us to be fruit inspectors. And is the fruit of your Spirit living in us? Do we have love? And not love as the world defines it, but do we have your real love? Because your definition of love is your Son, Jesus Christ. Do we have joy? Not a passing happiness from moment to moment, but everlasting joy that comes from knowing that we are a people redeemed, bought by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Do we have peace? Are we at peace with you this morning, God, or are we wrestling? Lord, I pray that those who are not in peace today, that they would come forward. And today, they would settle to the matter. They'd say, today, I'm going to believe in my heart and profess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is my Lord. If you're not at peace with God, it's not because God's not peaceful. It's because you're not peaceful. Put that to rest today, will you? Let the fruit of God's Spirit live in you and become more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, your Lord. What power is in you? Jesus, I knew. Paul, I know. Do the people of this world know you as a mighty man or woman of God? And if not, why not? Because if you're ashamed of him now, he'll be ashamed of you on Judgment Day. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. I am the clay, mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, you reconcile. Will you reconcile your issues with God today? He's waiting. All praise be unto you today, Jesus. Help us to truly ask ourselves, what power is in me? Who do my knees bend to? Who do I cry out to? Who do I tell others about? Conform me more and more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.